Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Okay, quick question. How many of you are readers? Like, you enjoy losing yourself in a good book? Yeah, good. I'm right there with you. I like to read before going to sleep at night. I'll even pull the covers up over my head and read under there with a flashlight. It's my little way of just telling the world to go away. Right? Maybe you do that too. If you are a reader like me, chances are you've read some really good books. And you've probably read some really lousy ones too. One of the worst parts about reading is when you're into something really good, you get past the climax of the story, and then the good book turns into a lousy. It just fizzles out. Yeah, there's always the resolution part of the story, but sometimes authors don't know how to end a story as well as they began it. Sadly, the Gospel of Luke is sort of like that. Right, don't get me wrong, it's a brilliant gospel. Unlike the Gospel of Mark, for example, which flies by at a real quick pace, the Gospel of Luke slows down. It takes its time. Like, this gospel dwells on the story of Jesus' birth. Right here we get the Annunciation of Mary, the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, the birth story with the angels and the shepherds and all that wonderful stuff. It's also in Luke that we get some parables that don't show up in any of the other Gospels, like the Good Samaritan in chapter 10, or the prodigal son in chapter 15. So this Gospel writer takes the time to tell a great story, which is wonderful. There are all kinds of good details here. And all of that, of course, builds up to the climax of Jesus' death and resurrection. But after Jesus' resurrection, after we hear that he's alive again, the story sort of dies. Jesus is buried at the end of chapter 23. And chapter 24 is the last chapter of the book. In that chapter, we hear about the women finding the empty tomb, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, today's gospel reading, and then the ascension. That's it. And it all seems to take place on that first Easter Sunday. It's almost like the gospel writer is saying, well, Jesus came back to life, appeared to a few people, ascended, the end. What? No. Of course, the story does continue on in the book of Acts, which is literally the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. But the ending here to volume 1 leaves a lot to be desired. But then again, that's okay. Because even though we don't get a lot of action or details here like we did earlier in the Gospel, what we do get is Jesus. Think about it. Up to this point, we needed to hear the story of how Jesus was acting in the world. We needed to hear the connections back to the Old Testament to see how Scripture was being fulfilled. We needed to see how all of this led up to his death and resurrection. After the resurrection, though, all we need to see is that Jesus is alive again. And that he sends out the disciples to tell the good news. In the verse right after today's reading, Jesus says this, "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So this is the end of volume 1, Because it's the end of the story of the earthly life of Jesus. Volume 2, the book of Acts, picks up with the ascension and then tells about how the disciples shared the good news after he was gone. In other words, the gospel writer doesn't need to tell us any more about the life of Jesus after the resurrection. We've heard plenty about him already. We know who he is by studying the scripture. Like when Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. Now, a new part of the story is beginning. It's the story of the ministry of the church. This is an ending and a beginning at the same time. And in our lives, we know all about endings and new beginnings, don't we? We're experiencing a new beginning here at St. Paul by coming together again in person for worship. And yes, things are changing, but that's what happens with a new beginning. This is what the Easter season is all about, resurrection and new life. The death part isn't so much fun, but there is new life. And like with all resurrections, that new life is similar to what came before, but it's not exactly the same. And that's okay. But sometimes, though, we just want the familiar story to continue. We want the things we know to keep going. We don't want life to change. Think of it this way. Yes, Jesus is alive, but what is he up to now, today, in 2021? Sometimes when we look at the world, it seems like he isn't up to very much. It seems like the biblical story was great at first, but now it's fizzled out. We watch the evening news and all we hear about is tragedy and violence and suffering. And so some people give up listening to scripture, like giving up on a book that didn't end as well as it started. I mean, where is Jesus now? How is his story continuing today? Well, as I said to those who were gathered here last week, Jesus is with us today in three ways. First, he's with us in Scripture, which is why he opened up the Scriptures to the disciples here. Second, he's with us in Holy Communion, which I imagine connects a little bit to him eating that fish with the disciples. And third, he is with us in us, the church. We are his body in the world now. That's why he sends us out to share his good news with others. Even our liturgical calendar is emphasizing this shift now. Right, just 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday. But after today, we're basically done with the post-resurrection stories. Next week, we'll get the famous Good Shepherd Sunday. And then the rest of the Sundays in this Easter season will be about Jesus preparing the disciples for his ascension and how they'll receive the Holy Spirit after he's gone. The same sort of change is happening in our lives, too. All right, just a few weeks ago, we were still doing worship only online. Last week was our first time being back together here in person. Now all of you are gathered here today, joined by our friends who are with us online. We are done with one chapter in our lives together, and we're starting a new one. It's a bit scary, And we're not sure what it's going to look like, but that's okay. It's new life. Also, notice what Jesus did for the disciples in this scene. He appeared to them, gave them his peace, reminded them that he is with them in their suffering by showing his wounds. He opened scripture to them, and then he told them to wait. He came to them, he comforted them, he taught them, and then he did not send them out right away. He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. They needed to get their bearings first regarding this new life. They needed to learn how to walk again. And yes, today we already have the Holy Spirit, but it feels like we're waiting too. We're trying to figure out what our life together now is going to look like. We're waiting for clarity. We're waiting for direction. We're waiting to see how things play out. We're learning how to walk again, too. So we might not know what these next weeks and months and years will look like for us, but what we do know is that Jesus gives us his peace. Just like he did for those first disciples. We also know that he still comes to us through word and sacrament, which is why we come here. And we know that no matter what the future holds, Jesus still empowers us to share his good news with others. Most importantly, we know that what Jesus is doing in the world is not based on our faith or our certainty or our ability to trust him. If you notice in this reading, nowhere does it say that the disciples trusted Jesus or celebrated that he was resurrected. In fact, it says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. They are excited, but not certain. Hopeful, but not convinced. Optimistic, but still holding back. Even so, Jesus still sends them out to tell the good news of the resurrection to others. Because it's not about them. It's not about their feelings or their preferences or their ideologies. It's about Jesus. The good news is good news whether we trust it or not. And we can still tell others about it, even if we are disbelieving and still wondering. And so I guess it makes sense then why the Gospel of Luke ends the way it does. At first it might seem to fizzle out, but really this is the transition point from the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of the disciples. And as we live in a transition point now too, Jesus calls us to continue telling the story of his love to the world too. So that means the story doesn't really end at all. It just continues in a new way. And we get to be a part of that. So let's go share it with the world. Because some stories are worth reading under the covers at night with a flashlight. And other stories are worth telling to the world. In the name of the one who gives us peace and sends us out, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.